Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of SB Nation's The Dream Shakes the Dream Take podcast. My name is Michael Brown, and I am recording this show live here on Spotify Green Room, live from the Odyssey of the Seas cruise ship for Royal Caribbean. It is my turn to host the show, and as we told you guys when the season began, we were going to be live after every single Rockets game, preseason, regular season, and hopefully postseason. And I have the absolute pleasure of doing this show right after the Houston Rockets' first win of the season. The Rockets played the Oklahoma City Thunder this evening inside of Toyota Center and destroyed the Oklahoma City Thunder 124-91. Here at the Dream Take, the Dream Shakes number one podcast, I'm here to take all of your calls. I'm here to talk all things Houston Rockets for as long as our listeners are tuned in and would like to talk Rockets basketball. So if you would like to discuss any of tonight's game, go ahead and hit that request to speak button. I would love to bring you up on stage and discuss all things Houston Rockets. Until that point, let's quickly go over the box score for this evening. The Rockets, like I said, defeated the Oklahoma City Thunder 124-91. Some of the team stats first. The Rockets shot 51% from the field to the Oklahoma City Thunder's 37%. The Rockets were a ridiculous 17 of 38 from the three-point line. 17 threes in a game is incredible, no matter who you're playing. And a lot of people are going to look at this box score and break down the game tonight and think, well, the Rockets were playing the Oklahoma City Thunder, you know, big whoop. They beat them by 33 points. The Rockets, if they played their starters their entire game, could have very easily won this game by 50 points plus. And I don't care who you're talking about a game against. You're playing an NBA team. You're playing legit NBA talent. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Josh Giddey. Josh Giddey was their highest draft pick. I didn't like him coming into the draft. I think he's an okay player. But, you know, for what he showed tonight, he's nothing special yet. I think he could potentially develop into something. But right now, you know, he's okay. But the Rockets obliterated the Thunder tonight. So it doesn't matter who they're playing. Right now, a win is a win, and the guys look great tonight. The Rockets were 79% from the shot 79% from the three throw line, 11 of 14. They did have 16 turnovers. They did force the Thunder into 19 turnovers. The Rockets won the assist battle 28 to 22. They had 13 more rebounds than the Thunder. They out rebounded them 53 to 40. 10 blocks for the Rockets to the 4 for the Thunder, 12 steals for the Rockets. They also committed 18 personal fouls to the Thunder's 21. Some individual stats to take a look at. For the good guys, we're not going to get into the stats for the Thunder because, quite honestly, I don't care to do so. Let's start at the top. I mean, Christian Wood was special tonight. 31 points, 14 rebounds, one assist, 13 of 19 from the field, including 4 of 6 from the three-point line, 3 blocks, 1 steal, and was a very good plus 26 while on the court. Kevin Porter Jr. had a really good bounce-back game from the first game. He had 3 rebounds, 9 assists, 7 of 16, excuse me, from the field, 4 of 8 from the three-point line. Jayshon Tate with an absolutely ridiculous 16 points, 14 rebounds, 6 assists, 6 of 9 from the field, 2 of 2 from the three-point line. Jalen Green getting off to a pretty slow start this season, 9 points tonight, 3 rebounds, 2 assists. Eric Gordon, great game off the bench, 22 points on 7 of 14 from the field, 4 of 6 from the three-point line. Alperen Şengün, 6 points, 4 rebounds. David Nwaba kicked in 6 points and 5 rebounds. Daniel House 11 minutes, 2 points, three rebounds. DJ Augustine hit a three-point shot, or excuse me, hit a bucket, 3 points. Armani Brooks, 6 points in garbage minutes at the end, and Josh Christopher with 2 points. KJ Martin also got onto the court for 6 minutes, didn't do very much. I think that's probably one thing. Once again, we are live here on Spotify Green Room for SB Nation's The Dream Shakes the Dream Take podcast. My name is Michael Brown aboard the Royal Caribbean Odyssey of the Seas, here doing our post-game breakdown of the Rockets' first win of the season. If you would like to talk Houston Rockets basketball with me, hit that request to speak button, and of course, we will bring you onto the stage. One thing that was particularly interesting to me tonight was KJ Martin only getting 6 minutes on the court. It's one of those situations where we're still so early in the season that Coach Silas is still trying to figure out where his rotation minutes are going to go. You know, the fact of the matter is that they have a logjam at the small forward position. You know, in front of KJ Martin, you look at guys like Daniel House getting 11 minutes. You look at guys like David Nwaba getting 16 minutes, Eric Gordon getting 26 minutes, Jayshon Tate getting 28 minutes. You know, guys like that getting minutes ahead of KJ Martin. The one anomaly there is Daniel House, because as we've talked about at the beginning of the season, what benefit, and we're bringing on, you know, good friend of the show, Ryan Santoro. Ryan, let me bang out this comment real quick, and then we'll get to what you have to talk about. Daniel House being on the floor, I don't understand how it benefits this roster whatsoever. It just doesn't make any sense to me, giving him minutes that can be going to other guys like a KJ Martin. KJ Martin needs to be getting more than 6 minutes in a game. Ryan, are you in agreement with that statement or in disagreement with that statement?
Sorry, ask it one more time, Mike. Sorry.
No worries. What I was saying was Daniel House getting 16 minutes on this roster does not make any sense whatsoever. Excuse me, 11 minutes. He didn't get 16 minutes. 11 minutes tonight does not make sense to me whatsoever. I don't get it. I don't understand that.
To answer your question, I want Daniel House out of the Rockets. I don't want him.
I mean, yeah. I don't disagree with that statement at all. I think it's
you.
It's not. I don't want him gone. I really don't want him gone because I actually like him. I like him as a player a lot, but he doesn't make sense for this roster anymore. Like, there's no way to justify and say we should be giving Daniel House minutes because of reasons A, B, C, and D. They just don't exist.
Give his minutes to Josh Christopher.
I wouldn't even say Josh Christopher. It's KJ Martin. Well, like KJ Martin's development is being stunted because of Daniel House. David Nwaba, I agree. I think David Nwaba's presence and him getting 16 minutes makes sense. He's your second best on-ball defender. But Daniel House, it doesn't make sense to me at this point.
And why isn't Armani Brooks playing? I don't understand that as well. That makes no sense to me.
So. Well, it does and it does and it doesn't. Look, Armani Brooks, you know, 6 minutes, he scored 6 points. You've got a log jam at the guard position as well. Like, Ryan, let me ask you this. Who are you going to take minutes away from to give minutes to Armani Brooks? You don't want Kevin Porter Jr. tonight played 31 minutes. Jalen Green played 26 minutes. Eric Gordon played 26 minutes. And that, I think we just answered that question is Eric Gordon and Daniel House are the anomalies on this roster. Because if you get rid of both of those guys, minutes start to open up for an Armani Brooks, for a Josh Christopher, for a KJ Martin Jr. But I'm telling you this right now. They showed tonight they are not the worst team in the league. Was it a bad first night against Minnesota? Yes, it absolutely was. Was tonight only one game? Yes. But you see the talent discrepancy between both teams tonight.
It's a given versus Thunder, though. I mean, you don't beat Thunder, then, I mean, yikes. But
well, that's what I'm saying. But, I mean, what are your thoughts through two games in the season?
They're playing hard. They have a lot of energy. They're not giving up. They're battling each possession. Christian Wood looked really good tonight.
He looked like a superstar tonight.
Yeah, happy to see that.
Now, he's going up against the likes of Mike Muscala. Mike Muscala sucks. You know, you're never going to be able to sell me on Mike Muscala being any good. But at the same time, he did exactly what he needed to do tonight, which was dominate the game. Because Christian Wood was the best player on the court tonight. Now, the question is,
how did Josh Giddey play for them? Their rookie they got. I didn't quite.
He sucks. I mean, he sucks. He's not a good player. Like, anybody who is. Now, when I say he's not a good player, let me rephrase my statement. I don't think he's going to be a good player. I watched him play. You know who he reminds me of? He's a better version, but not by much, of Adam Morrison. Is what he reminds me of. Remember Adam Morrison from Gonzaga?
I'm a big Zags fan, so.
Yeah, he's Adam Morrison. I mean, tonight for them, what did he do? He had 6 points, 2 rebounds, 4 assists, 2 of 6 from the field. Now, it's the second game in the NBA. Is it fair to say that he's a complete bust? No. But I'm saying in the homework that I did on Josh Giddey going into the draft, I thought he was a nice player. I don't think he's going to be great in the league by any stretch of the imagination. I feel like him going to a team like the Thunder is going to hurt him. And I don't think that that's talked about enough in the NBA. All these guys have talent. Adam Morrison had talent when he came into the league. But it's a huge question of the team that you get drafted to, the rotation that you have around you, the coaching. I don't feel like Josh Giddey in Oklahoma City is going to get a great roster to play with. I don't feel like he's going to get great coaching. I don't feel like there's a developmental team to bring him along. I think that's his biggest problem that he's going to run into.
And then my other point is, Mike, is I think Kevin Porter Jr. needs to be more aggressive. It looks like he's almost too afraid to shoot the ball, and he can't be our guy running the offense. He's got to be more aggressive. He has to play more like how Harden did when he was running our offense. I know he's young.
It's a good point. Yeah, I think it's a good point. I think you and I are very similar in the fact that in our time talking Rockets basketball together, we want satisfaction and we want it now. Yep. And it's not a bad thing, Ryan. Like, I'm never going to fault fans like you and I that look at a team and they say, okay, you know, they need to fix A, B, C, and D. This is how I think we're going to, how they should do it. I have all these different thoughts. And then when there's a middle ground that guys like you and I have to get to, and this is the second game that he has played with Jalen Green. This is the second game of the season. It's not going to be perfect yet. He had a much better game tonight than he did against Minnesota. Tonight gave me a lot more hope of Kevin Porter Jr. running this team.
Yeah, I was telling Jeremy last night, I was like, yeah, I wonder how Mike's taking this loss, because I remember last time they lost to the Timberwolves, you went live and you, all your head blew off your shoulders. And I remember how pissed.
It pisses me off. Yeah. It still does. Look, the way that they lost the other night to Minnesota is inexcusable. It's not good. It's not a good look. I don't believe in Minnesota. I don't believe in teams like Dallas. I don't believe in teams like Minnesota. I don't think they're any good by league standards. I think Luka's one of the best players in the league, but I feel like Dallas sucks. I don't feel like Dallas is any good. Minnesota's in that same boat for me. You know, watching the game, I didn't watch the entire game as I'm on a cruise ship currently, but I'm looking at the game, the parts of the game that I did watch. Anthony Edwards by NBA standards is not great. He's a good player, but we made him look like, you know, he was Donovan Mitchell. That's inexcusable. What I liked most about the game tonight was the fact that the Rockets bounced back. They faced adversity. They came out and they beat the ever-living hell out of an inferior team tonight.
Yeah. And
that's a good first step for the Rockets learning how to win, because they have to learn how to win. You know, like, I feel like a good analogy for this Rockets team is they're that cute girl in school that doesn't know that she's cute yet, and she has to learn confidence. Like, she has to learn how to approach dudes and be able to, you know, get them to say, yes, you know, let's go out to dinner. Does that make sense? Like, they're the, they got to learn how to get their swagger a little bit is what I'm trying to say.
Well, I know. Okay. So I'm sick of hearing it, and I'm sure you're sick of hearing it too. But if you're the Rockets, do you bite on a Ben Simmons trade? Yes or no?
If they can get him, if they can get him for John Wall, yes. I 100% do it.
They'd have to give up a 100%. First round pick too, unfortunately. But I think we should have
done. Well, here's the thing, okay? You have to ask yourself a question. Does Ben Simmons, if he's playing at an elite level, make you a better team than what you would be with what you're giving up? The simple answer to that question is yes, it does. Because you're not getting anything from John Wall. Like, you're giving him $40 million, $40 plus million dollars to literally do nothing. If you can find a way to acquire a guy like a Ben Simmons and you don't give up the farm, you do it. This is the most simple way to answer that question.
If we can get Maxi Thybulle, or is that who it is? Maxi Thybulle?
Matisse Thybulle. He's a good player. I like him a lot. I like Tyrese Maxey a little bit more than Thybulle, but if you can get Thybulle, like a reasonable deal would be Thybulle and Simmons for House, a first, and Wall. Yep. I would do that deal.
2 seconds.
Because the thing is that Rockets fans, I feel like, have to keep an eye on is, and it's in every sport. It's in absolutely every sport that people are afraid of bringing in a guy who's making a ton of money because they don't want to get rid of their cap room in that year. Because they're so afraid. Well, if we get Ben Simmons, you know, we can't really, you know, do anything in free agency. Think about how much money the Rockets are saving right now by sending away James Harden. They're saving $40 million a year.
Right.
Like, who's making legitimate money on this team right now? Christian Wood at $14 million. Eric Gordon, I think, is at $18 million. You have John Wall at $40 million. So if you send out Wall's contract and you bring back Ben Simmons, Eric Gordon comes off the books at the end of next year. You're probably going to trade him before that point anyway. Christian Wood's on the books until only the end of next year. You have to look at this and you have to say a very legitimate question is, what if Ben Simmons is the best player that the Rockets can get in free agency or trade over the next 3 years? Because if you're a free agent, why would you want to come here? Give me a reason outside of the state of Texas has no state income tax. Why would you want to come here? What is attractive about the Rockets right now? For any type of player that is the caliber of a healthy Ben Simmons.
Besides the city?
Besides city, you know, Houston always being a good city, a great city for athletes to live in. Besides the fact that there is no state income tax, there is no superstar on this team. You have Christian Wood, who's a very good player. But I'm not talking about guys like Daniel Tice. Excuse me. I'm talking about guys like who's a big free agent next year. You know, a Kyle Lowry as an example. Why would Kyle Lowry want to come here?
Not Kyle Lowry. I said, I know Durant will be a free agent. I know Harden's a free agent, but why would he come back here again? Who knows?
Hey, look, if Harden wins a championship this year with Brooklyn, maybe he gets his championship and he comes back. Now, would the city of Houston welcome him with open arms? I don't know the answer to that question, Ryan. I don't think anybody knows the answer to that question. But the thing is, you have to look at this. And the Rockets right now with John Wall have the 23rd lowest payroll in the league. That's with John Wall. So you're bringing in Ben Simmons. That's nothing. That's nothing. Like, you're not, you know, it's the same salary cap.
So when LeBron left and then came back, they welcomed him with open arms, right? When he went from back to from Miami back to Cleveland and got him a chip, they were more than happy to have him back in Cleveland.
I would look. Anyone who listens to this show or has listened to this show in the time that we've been doing it knows how much I love James Harden. I would love James Harden to be a part of this team, this franchise, period, end of story. Is it ever going to happen again? If I had to bet money on it, no. Look at the game tonight. You see what the Rockets are, sort of. Like, the Rockets are not as bad as Oklahoma City. They're just not. They're not the worst team in the Western Conference. Do I think that they're a top five team? No.
No.
But I will say this. I will say this. You asked me the question about Ben Simmons. If Ben Simmons is willing to adapt his game to be a powerful facilitator, you know, powerful, a non-point guard, this team is moved into the conversation of the sixth to tenth best team in the West.
I'd say at least.
I think that
at least playing.
I think Ben Simmons is that type of dude that can do that. And especially if you're just adding him and not taking away from any current value of this team, like the trade that we just broke down, that opens up minutes for guys like KJ Martin Jr. It opens up minutes for a guy like Armani Brooks. Like, you're going to tell me that if you put Armani Brooks on the court at the same time as a Ben Simmons, that Armani Brooks can't just feast from the corner? Because you're adding a guy who's 6'10" in Ben Simmons. He's a three-time all NBA defensive first team. He's a guy who, do I think he has problems? Yeah, I think he's got problems. I think he's throwing a temper tantrum in Philadelphia, and it's not a good look for him. I think that part really sucks for his image. But I think at the same time, if I was treated the same way that Ben Simmons was being treated in Philadelphia, I can see where he's coming from. I don't agree with what he's doing, but I can see where his motivation is in acting the way that he is acting.
Also, the issue is Daryl Morey said he wants to get something just as equal back in return. So he said it could take years before they finally deal Ben Simmons, if at all. So, I mean, it's going to be a long wait. Hopefully not, but I mean, both.
Well, but here's
both Wall and.
But Simmons. Here's the.
Go ahead.
But if you're Daryl, you're not going to get a better player than John Wall. A healthy John Wall last year, who averaged 17.9 points per game. He averaged 5 to 6 assists a game, and he averaged 4 or 5 rebounds. Like, that's, you're not going to get better. You're not going to get better than that in a Ben Simmons deal. The only way that you're going to get a better package than that potentially is from Sacramento. Like, if you can attract a guy, what would Sacramento give him? I mean, like, Harrison Barnes doesn't make any sense from Sacramento because they already have Tobias Harris.
Buddy Hield.
I mean, Buddy Hield is fine. I mean, he's okay. Would I rather? But if you're Philadelphia and you're sending Simmons out, you need a point guard. John Wall's your point guard.
De'Aaron Fox.
I mean, I don't think they're going to give him De'Aaron Fox. I think part of this is that Daryl is playing the long game. And this is the thing. This is the thing about Daryl that Philadelphia is learning now that Rockets fans knew for 14 years. As much as I liked Daryl as a human being, I thought he was a really good GM. You can't say he's a great GM. He never even made it to the finals. Now, is that his fault? Yes and no.
Well, we went small.
Like, right now.
The small ball didn't work. So.
Well, he panicked. Like, he was way too much in James Harden's pockets when James was here. He gave James Harden way too much leeway in the way that he acted and presented himself as a member of the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, I agree.
The way I see it is, You know, great GMs win titles. You don't ever look at a GM and say, oh, that individual is great that hasn't won titles. Bob Myers in Golden State was great. He's great. He's a great general manager. Now, I think in the post-Kevin Durant era, if he doesn't start, you know, winning some series, I think his job could potentially be in jeopardy, but not anytime soon. Daryl was great at attracting top-flight talent to join the Rockets organization. That's what he was great at. He was not great at team success, which at the end of the day is the only thing that matters. The only thing that matters to me as a fan, and that should matter to other fans out there, yes, is development important? Yeah. You know, if the Rockets are 1-1 right now, which is great. It's an improvement from last year. You know, they look like a better team from last year. Would you agree, Ryan, or disagree?
100%.
Okay. So they look better this year. They have more talent this year, which me as a fan, that's all you can ask for, is moving in the right direction. But at the same time, the Rockets are coming up on that 5-game West Coast road trip. You're going to learn a lot about this team. You're not going to learn everything about this team, but you're going to learn a lot about this team on that road trip. I'm bringing up the schedule now. What are we looking at? So they don't leave. Sorry, they don't leave for a couple games.
They have Portland Boston on Sunday. Boston on Sunday, and they just got blown out.
Yeah. You know, you have Boston on Sunday. You go to the Mavericks. You have the Jazz at home. You have at the Lakers twice in a row, which makes no sense to me. But that 5-game road trip is Lakers, Suns, Nuggets, Warriors. I mean, that, for God's sake, that is not an easy road trip. Do I think that the Rockets lose all 5 of those games? No, I don't. From what I saw tonight, this team, law of averages says you're going to win at least one of those games. I think they go, if I had to bet money, I would say they go 1-4, 2-3 or 1-4, you know, but tonight is what I talked about preseason when we did one of our preseason breakdowns. This team is good enough to feast on the worst teams in the league. That's going to get them by itself 8 to 10 wins this year. You know, like what has Dallas done? I'm looking up Dallas, what they've done thus far this year.
Lakers, Phoenix, Denver, Golden State. That's
really
hard.
And Dallas, I don't think Dallas has won a game yet from what I'm seeing on the limited resources that I have here. But the thing is, they look like tonight a team that knows what they are to a certain extent, if that makes sense. Like, they know that they want to be young. They want to run. They want to play. The defensive communication was vastly better tonight than it was against Minnesota. So that's improving. Jalen Green hasn't even sniffed what he can be in the league yet. I will say tonight, one thing that went unnoticed, Alperen Şengün trying to body up a guy like Derek Favors is not going to work at this point. Yeah. Like he's getting a healthy dose of reality of what his game looks like at the next level. Defensively, he's a lot further along than I thought he would be at this point. Offensively, his passing ability is scary good for a guy who's playing his second regular season NBA game. And I will say this, partly due to the lack of resources that the front office has given to Silas, I think Şengün is going to be starting in the next 15 games because I think Tice looks and feels much better coming off of the bench than he does starting.
Next 15.
That's what I've seen, and it's more out of necessity. Like, if you're going to leave Şengün on an island as the only big man coming off of the bench, because that's all they have at this point. That's the only big that they have outside of Garuba. So if you're going to be a team that only has one big coming off the bench, Ryan, would you not rather have that be a guy who has been in the league for as long as Tice has versus a guy who's a rookie like Şengün? Like, that's the logical thing to do at this point, is to put Şengün in the starting lineup. Let him get some legitimate minutes next to a guy like Christian Wood. And if something goes wrong and Şengün struggles, then you go to Theis. I like that move a heck of a lot more than starting with Theis and then going to Şengün if something goes sideways.
Yeah, I like Eric Gordon coming off the bench too. That's how he should be going forward. So, I mean, if it works for that kind of situation, then I guess you can give it a shot. I mean, it doesn't really hurt. We have nothing to really lose at this point. So, but like back to the Ben Simmons thing, if we can get if we can figure out a Ben Simmons deal, this team is not just better, but they're bigger too. And our starting five would be KBJ, Jalen Green, Tate, and then Simmons, Wood Simmons, or Simmons Wood. I don't know how you do that rotation, but
on Tate, and that's one thing. Another thing that has gone vastly unnoticed, I feel like, to a large portion of the fan base, Jayshon Tate had a hell of a game tonight. You watch him play, and the thing that I love about Jayshon Tate is that he's so solid at so many different things. Is he great at those things? No. Is he a great rebounder? No, but he's a scrappy rebounder. Like, he has effort. You saw the defensive lockdown that he put Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in the first quarter. You know, like, things like that. The fact that he scored 16 points, but it's how he got the 16 points. I can recollect just off the top of my head, you know, he had, 6 points on 3 layups where he got the ball in the paint, and he didn't immediately go up for a shot. He caught himself, took a second, figured out where he was, and went up strong to the hole. I mean, I think the Ben Simmons thing, I think, is something to keep an eye on. That's all I'm going to say. I don't know that for a fact. All I'm saying is that it makes a lot of sense if Daryl gets desperate enough to move him for a guy like John Wall. Ben Simmons is a better player than John Wall. Like, if you acquire Ben Simmons for the package that we laid out earlier, and if you're just tuning in, that package was Ben Simmons and Matias Thybulle for a first-round pick, Daniel House, and John Wall. You do that deal in 5 seconds, in my opinion. I don't know how many fans are going to, excuse me. I don't know how many fans are going to agree with that. You can tweet me at BSW_NB to discuss that at any time. I'm a fan of that move because you would be getting a heck of a lot more from Ben Simmons than you are getting from John Wall, which is absolutely nothing. And the other part of that is Ben Simmons with a guy like John Lucas, who is widely regarded in the NBA as one of, if not the best development coach on and off the court. You can see a difference in a guy like Kevin Porter Jr. from last year to this year. You can also look at the brand new development coach that the Rockets hired today, in Houston legend Gerald Green. Congrats on retirement, Gerald Green. 12 years in the NBA, and it's great. You know, it's great the fact that Gerald Green is back as a part of the Rockets organization. The other thing that I want to ask you about, Ryan, and everybody else, is how great was it tonight seeing Vernon Maxwell in the building? Mario Elie was in the building tonight. Hakeem Olajuwon shot the first shot at the beginning of the game. Like, those are three dudes that are vital in having as a part of this organization. Elie, Maxwell, Olajuwon.
I mean, just in
any sort of capacity, having those three guys is so important because it's just a good look. Like, it's a good look to have those guys on your side. Having a guy like a John Lucas in the building. I like what I've seen from Steven Silas tonight. I didn't like what I saw opening night. I don't think the guys were ready. I think Jalen Green was and is shell-shocked at the speed that it's going to take to compete at the next level. I think the difference between a guy like Şengün and Jalen Green, Şengün played professional ball at a very high level overseas. against dudes that you would not want to see in a dark alley at night, if you're picking up what I'm putting down. Like, those are tough dudes that he was going up against. I think he was playing in Turkey. Is it Turkey? Yeah, I want to say it's Turkey. Like, the difference between those types of dudes and the dudes Jalen Green was going up against in the G League are vastly different. And Şengün, not only did he have to play against those guys, but he had to be a big in that league and have to go get rebounds on a nightly basis. You and I both know, watch those tapes and see what he was going up against. It was not easy. Like, that was not an easy feat for him.
I'm not going to compare Şengün to Jokic like everybody else has, but I mean,
it's unfair. That's unfair. He's not even the same stratosphere as Jokic. Does he play like Jokic? Yeah, I mean, he's comparable to Jokic. But that would be like comparing Jalen Green to Michael Jordan. Like, it's just stupid. It's a stupid comparison. Now, if you want to say, I think he can develop into the next Jokic, I mean, yeah, I guess there's a chance that could happen. I think that, you know, there's as equal a chance as Halle Berry showing up at my front door and nothing but, you know, a trench coat, you know, and a steak dinner. I don't think Şengün is the next Jokic. I think he is more of a Pau Gasol type than he is a Jokic type.
Yes, yeah, I remember you brought that up before, and I do see a lot of that. Or I even see who else looks like, kind of reminds me of
like, he's more finesse than Jokic is. Like, Jokic is a lot of finesse, but there's also a decent amount of time where Jokic will just back you down and put the ball in the hole. Şengün is not there yet. He's like a
Nurkic from Portland Trailblazers.
Yeah. See, Nurkic is more of a banger and bruiser, though. Like, Şengün is not that. Şengün is finesse. He's a great passer. He's a decent rebounder. He's not a great rebounder. I think putting comparisons on guys, just it's not my thing. It's not my cup of tea that I look to and I'm like, yeah, you know, this guy looks like the next, because so many things can happen. Like, you know, anybody, you know, tear your ACL and you're done. And then, you know, you spent what, an hour or two talking about what this guy could have been. And then it's all over. You look at tonight, he had 18 minutes on the floor. He had 6 points. He had 4 rebounds. He had an assist. He was 0-2 from the 3-point line. And he had 6 turnovers. And he had 4 fouls. He was a plus 14, you know, but 6 turnovers isn't good. Like, he's going to struggle. He's a rookie. Rookies are meant to struggle. Rookies are not meant to come into the league and destroy the league on night one. But the Rockets have shown enough these first 2 games. We're going to wrap the show up here in a minute. But the Rockets have shown enough in these first 2 games that makes me think that I was not wrong preseason in my predictions, that this very easily could be a top 10 team in the West. They very easily could be. They've got steps that they need to take in order to make those types of things happen. But the framework is there to a certain extent right now. Christian Wood continues to play the type of ball that he's playing. If Eric Gordon can stay healthy and stay engaged and stay a vital part of this team coming off the bench, 26 minutes and 22 points, that's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Can Jalen Green, you know, he starts kicking in 15 to 20 points a night. What does that look like? What does it look like, Kevin Porter Jr.? You know, we look 25 games in, he's averaging 18 points. And he's averaging, you know, 8 or 9 assists a game with 2 steals. And he's shooting 38% from the 3-point line. How many games are the Rockets going to win? Rockets are going to win a decent amount of games if those things happen. You know, Daniel Theis can show that, what was one of the biggest areas that this team struggled with last year? Rebounding the ball. You know, they got manhandled the first night. Okay, you throw that one away. The Rockets came in tonight, out-rebounded the Thunder by 13. Those are the types of stats this team needs to look at. And if they're gonna make 17 threes a game, watch out for this team.
Like, my big thing
within reasoning is what I'm saying. Watch out for them being a pesky team that no one wants to play. They have more talent than, but they don't want to see. They look at them on the schedule and they're like, okay, like, tonight's gonna be a dogfight against the Rockets.
My big take on this thing, though, is I'm just sick and tired of seeing John Wall sit on the bench. Get rid of you gotta deal him. Get the best return for him and move on. It's just, you know, like I said, Ben Simmons wants out. John Wall would be at a contender with the Sixers. It works. Both teams win the trade. So do it. Get it done.
Yeah. No, I absolutely agree with you. I think both teams are being hard-headed at this point because they believe that they have an asset that is worth much more than that asset is actually worth. Because an asset is only worth what someone else is willing to pay for it if you want to part with it.
Benson completely destroyed that relationship with the rest of the players in the locker room. So it's just going to be super awkward now. So something needs to be done.
Anyway, it would be a – Ryan, I'm going to send you down to the Gulag so I can wrap the show up. But thank you, my man, for hanging out with me tonight and talking all things Rockets, as always. Right. Thanks, brother. Yeah, to put a bow on this show and what Ryan and I were talking about, it would be a risk to bring Ben Simmons to this team because you would be trading away equity in the, you know, trading away John Wall, who I still believe has some value to a certain team. I don't know what that value is. I don't know who it is to, but I think he still has some value. If you trade away that, you trade away a draft. It's going to take a draft pick to move John Wall's contract. If the Rockets are willing to part with one of those draft picks, then yes, I would still do the deal. But it is a risk. Anybody who says it's not a risk is lying to you. Once again, my name is Michael Brown. Thank you all so much for listening to the show tonight. I'm one part of the Dream Shakes, the Dream Take podcast. Make sure to head over to the... if you're on Twitter, make sure to give the mothership of the Dream Take, the Dream Shake, a follow at Dream Shake SBN. You can follow the Dream Take at the Dream Take. Make sure to give my co-pilots, Mr. Ray Lucas, a follow at Raymond Lucas Jr. and Jeremy Brenner at Jeremy Brenner. That's JeremyBrenner, a follow. That's at Raymond Lucas Jr., at Jeremy Brenner. You can also give me a follow at BSW Podcast _NB. Make sure to follow The Dream Shake on Facebook at The Dream Shake. Once again, we are wrapping the show up for tonight's postgame with your happy final of the Houston Rockets 124, the Oklahoma City Thunder 91. A quick look at the next couple of games. For the Houston Rockets, once again, the Dream Take will be live after each one of these games. We'll let everyone know via Twitter where those shows are going to be going live at. The next game for the Rockets is this Sunday against the Boston Celtics, 7 o'clock tip. We then play the Dallas Mavericks on Tuesday at 8:30, and then we are against the Utah Jazz at 8 o'clock. So the next three games, Celtics, Mavericks, Jazz, two of those three of which are inside of Toyota Center. Until next time, Rockets fans, go Rockets.